Truth News Network. Conservative thought, not just talk. TNN. TruthNewsNet.org. Here's Dan Newman.
Hello and welcome to our part three of our series of investigations that we're opening this week at Truth News Network. Today, the Trump investigation, part two. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, claimed in 2017 that he had factual evidence that proved collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign. That evidence has never appeared. Then Sunday, March 10th of this year, on CBS, Schiff claimed, quote, "There is direct evidence of Russian collusion between the Trump campaign and Russian operatives." He stated it this way, "I think there is direct evidence in the emails from the Russians through their intermediary offering dirt on Hillary Clinton as part of what is described in writing as the Russian government effort to help elect Donald Trump." He said that on CBS's Face the Nation. "They offer that dirt. There is an acceptance of that offer in writing from the president's son, Don Jr. And there are overt actions in furtherance of that," he added. "That, to me, is direct evidence." Schiff said, "But there's also abundant circumstantial evidence." And then there's Senator Mark Warner, who serves on that same committee. "Given the litany of what we know," Warner said, "the ongoing negotiations about Trump Tower, well into the campaign, I believe the fact that Mr. Trump knew about the dump of the WikiLeaks material, the fact that clearly the meeting at Trump Tower, which was not described appropriately in terms of offering dirt, or examples. To me, that's all evidence," he said. "There's no one that could factually say there's not plenty of evidence of collaboration or communications between the Trump Organization and Russians." You know, I'm a simple guy, but even in my small trite world, when someone feels that something is illegal, something is wrong, you go get facts. Democrats did that. They saw to the appointment of an independent special counsel, Robert Mueller. Special Counsel Mueller is 2 years and a reported $25 million of taxpayer dollars into extensive investigations based on exactly what Schiff and Warner claim is evidence. The definition of evidence: an outward sign, indication, something that furnishes proof, like testimony, specifically something legally submitted to a tribunal to ascertain the truth of a matter. So let me recap that last paragraph. 2 years, $25 million, where's the evidence? So in this conversation, let's briefly address Special Counsel Mueller. The Mueller probe has been going strong for 2 years. Anonymous sources, there those anonymous sources are again, say that the probe is wrapping up and to expect the report from Mueller on his investigation of the Trump gang any day now. With the leaks environment in Washington, D.C., conventional wisdom maintains that because there have been no reports of pending charges against the president or anyone in the campaign regarding Russian collusion, there will be no smoking gun in the Mueller report. Finally, we're getting through with the investigation, and now we can just get on with governing. Of course, that's not so. Congressman Schiff and fellow Democrats apparently are simply going to ditch Mueller's findings, even though we don't officially know they will even exonerate the president. But they simply cannot let sleeping dogs lie. That's how we are now on the front porch of part two of the Trump investigation. They're never going to give up. You know, if they don't find dirt or something significant in part two of this investigation, they'll try to launch part three. Democrats are convinced there's something in the Trump camp that is going to kick Donald Trump out of the White House. And Adam Schiff doesn't stop there. He shows up with even more news. Quote, "Within our committee, we certainly have a compelling interest in making sure that U.S. policy is not driven by leverage that the Russians have over the president," he said. "There have been credible allegations that the Russians may have laundered money through the Trump Organization. And if that's the case, then we need to be able to look into it and be able to tell the country, yes, this is true, or no, this is not. But I think it would be negligent not to find out. He continued, it's going to be important for Congress to ensure that U.S. foreign policy is being driven by U.S. national interest and not by Trump family finances, he said. He said that in reference to the president's business ties to Saudi Arabia and his pro-Saudi policies, such as backing the kingdom in its confrontation with neighboring Qatar. The president has not truly divested his family's interest or been the least bit transparent about it, the congressman said. And lawmakers need to make sure we're protecting the country. Americans knew full well that with Democrats in the 2018 midterm taking control of the House of Representatives, investigations, regardless of Mueller's findings, would definitely be the Democrat Party agenda for the next 2 years. And that certainly appears to be true. But there are a few things that may throw a wrench into Democrats' plans. Department of Justice investigations. While the Democrat parade is ramping up, the Department of Justice continues its behind-the-scenes investigations, of which very little is known. Many remember the comment former Attorney General Jeff Sessions made to Congressman Goodlatte about the AG's instructions to restart the investigation into the Uranium One transaction and Hillary Clinton. Months later, when asked about that investigation, one DOJ official stated there was no such letter or authorization by Sessions to do so. After it claimed no such document existed, the Justice Department unearthed a letter that Matthew Whitaker, when he was Sessions' chief of staff, delivered to the Utah U.S. attorney, directing a review of how the department handled the Clinton Foundation and the Uranium One issues in their investigations. Then AG Sessions wrote the letter on November 22nd of 2017 for Utah U.S. Attorney John Huber. Matt Whitaker emailed a letter to Huber that day, writing, quote, as we discussed. He also sent Huber a copy of a letter the Justice Department's Congressional Affairs Chief sent to the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee on November 13th. Of that year. The existence of a letter documenting Sessions' directive that the DOJ revisit probes of Trump's top political foe is a surprise because a department lawyer said in court last year that senior officials insisted it didn't exist. Senior officials said, what letter? There's no letter. The liberal nonprofit American Oversight, a liberal nonprofit, obtained the letter through a Freedom of Information Act request they filed on November 22nd of 2017, the same day Whitaker emailed Sessions' letter to Huber. The request asked for documentation of the direction Sessions gave Huber about the review of the Clinton investigations. After DOJ failed to produce any written directions, American Oversight sued. And then, on November 16, 2018, senior counsel in the Office of Information Policy, Vanessa Brinkman, who handles FOIA requests, said a lawyer in Sessions' office told her no such letter existed. That lawyer spoke with Huber and Whitaker, she said in a declaration filed in federal court, and then told her that, quote, when the Attorney General directed Mr. Huber to evaluate these matters, no written guidance or directives were issued to Mr. Huber in connection with this directive, either by the Attorney General or by other senior leadership office staff. That wasn't true. On Wednesday of last week, March 6th of this year, 2019, a DOJ lawyer told American Oversight they found the document that kicked off Huber's work. The letter is consistent with what the DOJ's Chief of Legislative Affairs had told Congress, that Huber is scrutinizing the sale of a Canadian uranium mining company with interest in the United States to Rosatom, a Russian state-owned company. Republicans have long alleged that then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton declined to oppose the deal because of contributions to the Clinton Foundation. The DOJ hasn't brought any charges related to the foundation or the transaction. Some Hill Republicans and conservative media commentators have long argued this is because the department hasn't sufficiently investigated it. They've called for the appointment of a special counsel to scrutinize the transaction. Sessions didn't bite, and so far, no one else has either. Some Republicans say Huber's work is too little too late. Democrats, to no one's surprise, argue it's evidence of the Trump administration weaponizing law enforcement to target its political rivals. But you know what? There's something else. One other thing. Something besides Mueller's report that may be imminent. You don't want to miss this. I've got that for you next at Truth News Network.
Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media? Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network, at truthnewsnet.org.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Did the little piggy cry wee, wee, wee all the way home?
You're home.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Mrs. A.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It's hard to hear the truth, but if the truth will set us free, we'd rather enjoy freedom. TNN, the Truth News Network. Again, Dan Newman.
Is something besides Mueller's report imminent? Hardly any of the media are talking about the publicly available list of 82,000-plus sealed federal indictments that have all been issued since the week after the instructions to Utah federal attorney Huber to reopen Clinton and Uranium One investigations. Every federal district court in the United States has been involved in issuing some of those sealed indictments. The feds and the media are strangely quiet about even speculating on the nature of those indictments. You don't hear anything about them anywhere. Think about it, 82,000. What does that number mean? Well, that number is staggering. For the previous decade, the total average number of sealed federal indictments issued by all federal district courts combined is 1,077. That's 1,077 for the entire year, total all the courts combined. These have all been created since October of 2017, these 82,000. That's about 16 months. Speculations of novices and political pundits are that at least some of these indictments are for those involved in human and sex trafficking. Another speculation exists that some may be for some current and past elected or appointed federal officials caught up in various kinds of wrongdoing. No matter who or what they are for, when the veil of secrecy is pulled back, there certainly will be some surprises, especially if any of these indictments have to do with members of the Trump administration or Hillary Clinton or her former staff, and even of those from the Obama administration. Now, don't say no to any of those because we absolutely don't know. And there are no leaks anywhere that verify yay or nay anything about those 82,000 federal indictments that are sealed. They're public record that they exist. They're there. We just don't know what they're about. Now, what about those subpoenas of 81 Trump associates? House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York, announcing the committee's subpoena of 81 Trump associates was no real surprise. His explanation for doing so simply plays into the congressional Democrat plan to go after the president. Nadler has made numerous claims that he knows, the word knows in quotation marks, he knows that Trump colluded with Russia and/or has obstructed justice. It's very clear that the president obstructed justice, Nadler told ABC News on this past Sunday, March 10th of 2019. It's very clear, he explained, 1,100 times, he referred to the Mueller investigation as a witch hunt. He tried to have Mueller fired. He tried to protect Flynn from being investigated by the FBI. He fired Comey in order to stop the Russian thing, as he told NBC. He's dangled pardons. He's threatened. He's intimidated witnesses in public. That's what Nadler said. But Congressman Nadler, his committee, and other Democrats may face an obstacle they did not expect in their serving subpoenas wholesale to the host of Trump associates they plan to intimidate into relaying something incriminating about the president. Doing so may be illegal. The attempted harassment of President Trump, as it appears to be to many, especially after 2 years of the Mueller probe, may be unconstitutional. You probably haven't heard anything about this. The U.S. Supreme Court weighed in on a case that has direct implications for what Democrats are doing right now. It's Watkins v. the United States of America. Here's the history of it. John Thomas Watkins, a labor union official from Rock Island, Illinois, was convicted of contempt of Congress, a misdemeanor, for failing to answer questions posed by members of Congress during a hearing held by a subcommittee of the House of Representatives Committee on Un-American Activities. That hearing was April 29, 1954. Watkins was asked to name people he knew to be members of the Communist Party. Watkins told the subcommittee that he did not wish to answer such questions and that they were outside the scope of the subjects on which he was summoned to testify and of the committee's jurisdiction. He said this, "I am not going to plead the Fifth Amendment, but I refuse to answer certain questions that I believe are outside the proper scope of your committee's activities. I will answer any questions which this committee puts to me about myself. I will also answer questions about those persons whom I knew to be members of the Communist Party and whom I believe still are. I will not, however, answer any questions with respect to others with whom I associated in the past. I do not believe that any law in this country requires me to testify about persons who may be in the past have been Communist Party members or otherwise engaged in Communist Party activity, but who, to my best knowledge and belief, have long since removed themselves from the communist movement." He continued, "I do not believe that such questions are relevant to the work of this committee, nor do I believe that this committee has the right to undertake the public exposure of persons because of their past activities. I may be wrong, and the committee may have this power, but until and unless a court of law so holds and directs me to answer, I most firmly refuse to discuss the political activities of my past associates." He finished his words with that. His conviction carried a huge fine, $100, and a one-year suspended prison sentence. Watkins first won a 3-2 decision on appeal to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, but then he lost 6-2 when the court heard the case en banc. Now, the difference is the first 3-2 decision was given by just a group of those judges, five of them, 3-2 against him. En banc means the whole court ruled again. They still ruled against him, 6-2. The Supreme Court heard arguments on March 7th of 1957 and announced its decision on June 17th, 1957. The Supreme Court decided 6-1 to overturn Watkins' conviction. Chief Justice Earl Warren wrote for the majority. He noted that it is an offense for a witness to refuse to answer any question pertinent to the question under inquiry in testifying before a congressional committee, but he wrote that the court was unable to ascertain the nature of the congressional inquiry with reasonable precision. He wrote this, "There are several sources that can outline the question under inquiry in such a way that the rules against vagueness are satisfied. The authorizing resolution, the remarks of the chairman or members of the committee, or even the nature of the proceedings themselves might sometimes make the topic clear. This case demonstrates, however, that these sources often leave the matter in grave doubt." It so shocked America The New York Times commented, quote, the Supreme Court has placed fundamental restrictions on a congressional investigatory power that in recent years has been asserted as all but limitless. Senators James Eastland and William Jenner, who played principal roles in investigating left-wing activities, issued a statement accusing the court of contributing to the trend of the past year of undermining our existent barriers against communist subversion. One can easily make a case that current House Democrats and their various committees that have started burying the White House with new investigations of these old allegations against the president are committing the same acts that resulted in the Watkins conviction being overturned by the Supreme Court of the United States. How would that court finding apply to what's underway now in D.C.? The exact same thing. The court was unable to ascertain the nature of the congressional inquiry with reasonable precision. That's what Justice Earl Warren wrote when they overturned that conviction in 1957. So, what the heck specifically is the congressional committee, all those congressional investigatory committees, what specifically are they looking for? The difference now is that, as many have maintained since the inception of the Mueller probe, in normal investigations, the investigation begins because of specific wrongdoing and is to find the evidence sufficient to prove who is guilty of that wrongdoing. This congressional witch hunt is based on wrongdoing that hasn't been proven to even exist. Let's wrap this whole thing up. Congressional Democrats are afraid. It's simple. They're scared to death. The leadership of the Democrat Party is scared to death. What are they afraid of? Well, here's some answers. Not only the content of the 82,000 sealed federal indictments, but the results of the prosecution of those federal indictments that is inevitable as they are unsealed and executed. They may be afraid of President Trump really not being guilty of anything sufficient to run him out of office one way or the other. Afraid of extreme wrongdoing, both criminal and simply reprehensible, on their part, might be exposed. All of the above may result in their loss of political might and standing, and even expulsion from their positions and their status. They're afraid of the Democrat Party totally imploding by revelations that come from those sealed indictments. They're also afraid of President Trump's agenda actually succeeding. You know, I know there's a lot in this discussion for all of us to chew on. It has become extremely difficult to get a fix on what is truthful and what is not, what is applicable to the president, members of Congress, and those from the Department of Justice. But there's a worn-out adage that I believe is appropriate to say here. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I think it's safe to say that so far in the exhaustive investigation of this president, his staff, his family members, and even his friends, there may not even be smoke, yet alone a fire. Certainly no fire has been exposed as being there. To borrow a phrase from the president, this could all simply be more fake news and nothing else. Whether you are a Democrat, a socialist, a rhino, a Republican in name only, a Trump supporter, it is probably accurate to say you want this entire thing resolved. There may be an argument on the actual resolution you desire, getting this all done and getting the U.S. on the road to what's ahead without further distraction is really all that matters. But it certainly is time to get this out of the way. And I quote my old buddy Larry the Cable Guy often. I'll quote him here to finish this story. Just get her done. Thanks for joining us here today for part 3 in our series of exposures of investigations we're reporting on this week. More to come. Be back tomorrow right here at Truth News Network. Thank you so much for joining us. So long, everybody.
We don't tell you what to think,
but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
Truth News Network. geico.org.